Did you order $5,000 worth of limo rides? No. It's fraud.
Yeah. Well, who the hell would do that? What kind of... It's obviously fraud. Who the hell would do that?
In the limo.
Yeah. I programmed that in, didn't
you? I prefer the term honky.
Honky?
Because of the honking sound.
For white people.
Because we just go, honk, honk.
Well, that's allegedly the history of that racial slur. This is Sit Suck, everybody.
Honk. Honk.
And that's Kyle.
Oh, hi, I'm Kyle.
Making honking sounds.
Honk.
And
that's
Amy's
my
in the back.
Impression. And Amy in the back.
I want to put a compilation of all the times you've said that, but I really don't want to put the work into it.
Yeah, that sounds like Sit Suck.
I want to do a thing, but I really don't want to put the work into it.
I was reading about... I've been watching Critical Role lately, which is like Matt Mercer and the Geek and Sundry like D&D show. And
wow.
Why are you wowing?
I know, I didn't. Wasn't that not... Well, that's stupid. I'm sorry, what was the right reaction?
I don't know. I want to know, like...
I wasn't.
Wow.
I don't... You're going to call me out on this. This is what you're going to call... This is the hill you're going to die on?
Wow. I can't believe you're saying that. And so a lot of his other videos have been coming up on my feed, and he has, like, a whole GM tips video.
Whoa!
Thing, right? Wow.
Is that better?
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Let's just do a whole podcast inflecting wow differently.
Wow!
Whoa.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
And so one of the things that he suggested on one of his videos is...
butt sex?
I actually haven't seen that video yet, but...
I don't think they let you do that on YouTube.
is taking improv classes to be a good GM.
Yes, that makes perfect sense to me.
Does it, or are you being... this again, wow. Sarcasm? Or,
no.
Okay.
Sorry.
And I was like, this
I'm
is...
I'm off a bit now. I mean...
wow.
Yeah, Well, no, that makes perfect sense, because you've got to be acting very extemporaneously.
But then he went on... Yes, that's true. And then he went on and said that improv classes will help you out in life.
Yes.
And it makes sense that would be true. And I really now kind of want to take an improv class.
I would recommend it, and I'd be curious...
Have
to
you taken one?
No.
Go fuck yourself, then. Why are you recommending it?
Everyone I've ever seen talked about it, had positive-ass things to say about it and shit.
Well, I just think I'm already really good at improv.
I don't think that's true. A lot of people say that.
I mean... I'm improv-ing right now.
No, you're not.
None of that stuff I said was real.
Nope. Not how that works.
Oh, look, in my hand, it's an object that I can describe.
Terrible miming.
It's egg-shaped. Oh, yes, it's an egg.
You're really bad at improv. I like to also think I'm good at improv, but I know I'm not. At least in the what?
Well, that's our difference. Is that I think I'm good at improv, and I am, and you think you're good at improv, and you're not. Just.
Especially with people who are, like, formally trained in improv, which kind of sounds, like, ridiculous, but there is an element of skill there and technique and almost technology, like, that system they have, right? So it's not just random gibberish like what we do. There's, like, a whole thing around it.
Which is why I was saying maybe we should take improv classes to
improve. It suddenly became we.
Yeah, because
I'm on board.
You're bad, too.
And I am, but I also am really terrible at making things. And like scheduling stuff. So really you're best off doing it yourself. And it probably would be best if we don't do it together.
Why?
Wow.
We need banter.
That's the whole point though. Is you learn how to do it without relying on each other.
Oh, but I need you.
And then come back.
If
like
I need
the
you
true
now.
Star-crossed lovers we are.
Oh shit, that's gay.
Like literally.
No, literally.
Literally homosexual. That's legitimately legitimately gay. Okay. I don't know.
Never
what
happy.
That was, but
me?
There we go.
That was coughing.
No,
that
I meant
that
the light, thing where the guy was like,
but yeah,
someone went through the light, but the other guy didn't go through the light.
And so I looked up improv locations.
Oh yeah,
and
in the Denver metro area.
Sure, I think it's where I Googled.
Okay,
I said,
did you find one in Boise? Because that's not.
No, I did not find one in Boise.
I hear Boise's happening.
There's like a voodoo lounge, one.
I don't think I want to go
prices,
there.
And it's like $180 a class.
Wow.
I was like, I wonder if that's worth it. Wow.
Wow. Well, I mean, it's worth it to you if it's worth it to you.
If I pay the money, it's obviously worth it to me, right?
Mm-hmm. That's how money works.
It's literally worth it.
That's how valuation occurs.
Amy, do you want to take improv classes with me?
Sure.
Whoa, really? cool.
I'm on the fence. How long is the class?
I don't know. I'll send you information.
Because if it's a half hour, I'm not doing it.
I don't think it is. It's
if it's a 3 hour class, maybe. Oh, if it's multiple classes, $180 might not be too bad.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I looked at it and I was like, oh, okay, cool, that seems fun. And then I was like, I don't have the money or the time right now. Maybe I should try it when we get back from London. So, which would be when you're listening to the podcast. So I might have already taken improv classes if you're lucky.
You won't know because we won't get to an episode where he will post improv class episodes.
7 years.
For months.
And then I'll be like trying to improv and I'll suck at it still. I'll be worse because I'll be like, what about these broccoli that I have? Oh, there's broccoli everywhere.
Yes, and. You don't just say yes, and. That's the name of it. Yes, and. Okay, Kyle. You didn't pick up a core. Yes, and.
What is yes, and?
It's one of the improv games.
Oh, my God. I didn't take an improv class. I highly recommend it, but I know all the improv stuff.
I don't know a lot. I just know people who've done it. I know people who've done a lot of improv. Corwin was in an improv troupe in college.
You can't prove that.
I can, mathematically, with science. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Cue the role of me doing all of the science and then the music in the background from, like, the 50s cartoons and then back to them again. See?
Wow.
Science.
That was amazing. I can't believe that you just proved that Corwin took college improv classes with science.
He was an improv troupe. Obviously, you missed one.
He himself was a troupe?
He was himself. Him and a couple
That's what happens when you take an improv class and you have multiple personality disorder.
You become
a troop. Associative design.
And I've watched them do some of their improv shticks they did. That video of it. From a long time. That was like 15 years ago. Not quite. That was like 14 years ago.
Did he like it? Because I said dissociative identity disorder. I'll show myself out.
That's fine. Thank you. Amy, you're up to front seat now again.
Yes.
You've been promoted to front seat. The podcast gets better when it's just you two.
It's true.
Oh.
She said that herself. Actually, I was going to talk about that later.
Okay.
I'll talk about it now. Fuck it. We're on here. I was thinking about getting lav mics. Because remember, we talked about doing the lav mics, and I found the right ones again.
Okay.
But now I realize we only have two mic jacks in here.
Yeah, so we have two audio streams, so we can... We can do four, I think.
Well, these are... two of the four, though.
Yeah, so we have four total, so we can do two here and two lav mics in the back.
But the whole point of the lav mic is to not use these, because the lav mics, we'd be able to turn them down and get less car noise.
Oh, yeah, well, like, if we had... So if it's just us, sure. But if it's three of us, we won't be able to do that.
Exactly. So I'm not going to bother getting lav mics. That's the...
But they can be useful for other scenarios.
I mean, lav mics are always cool.
How much are they?
I think they're...
$4,000?
Yeah, about $8,000 or $5,000 a piece.
$8,000 or $5,000. About $1 or $995,675.
Yeah, like those are mildly discounted.
Like $99, I guess.
What? that just looks so stupid. Like, look at him. He looks like he's on the toilet.
He's carrying a kidney.
Yeah, well, he's got two of them. He's going to donate if he wrecks. I've heard people
Kendrick,
refer
just
to them as
get it out of your system.
Cycles. And I'm going to exclusively call them that now.
Donor cycles?
Donor cycles.
Kendrick despises the idea of riding a
motorcycle. Everybody and everything.
No. But this more.
Demonstrable. Cue science again. Well, no.
Wow, how, he demonstrably proved he hates everything. This is amazing.
It's just me running around flipping the bird to everybody. Well, that was easy. No, the lab mics, I think, are $30 a piece. I found someone online who said that they're... a YouTuber who he was using it, and he says the quality was a lot better than what you'd expect for $30. It's not as much as like the $400 ones, but I'm not spending $400 on lav mics that we're only going to use a little bit. I already spent a fair amount of money on lav mics we can't use. These are just clip mics, too. So these are okay, we're stopping.
Yeah, this is the part of the road where you just basically just need to slow down.
Well, yeah. And last time I was driving home this way, there was
nice.
Yeah, somebody wrecked in that lane.
$1,000 fine.
Yep. Somebody wrecked in that lane. And it was the stupid lane.
Mm.
And everybody else was fucked over here because they were all slowing down to go past it. It was separated. The accident was completely separated from traffic, but people still slowed down.
Yeah, but like that's
self-driving
what
cars,
you're supposed
please,
to do.
Morally.
You have to slow down.
Yeah, but not to the... This is the speed that's acceptable. We were going 5.
Miles per hour?
Yes.
Feet per minute. Milliliters a second.
Milliliters per second. That's what we were doing.
5 milliliters per second.
Yeah.
What is that measurement? Milliliter per second.
What is it? I mean,
it's a flow rate. Yeah,
and
okay.
We're flowing, so yes.
I mean, the air is moving.
If you want to do the math on this and figure out the displacement of the volume, or I mean the volume of the vehicle, and then per second, how much we're moving. It was probably,
I feel like there's a fat
that would be
joke
really slow.
You said a fat joke.
You chub. It's probably more like a sex joke, really.
Because you said chub.
No, because it's a flow rate. Because
it's got dogs in it.
Because milliliters. So the whole point is,
you hate motorcycles.
I hate sauerkraut. No. I was just looking at the guy who looked like he was on a toilet because of the posture he had. All right, that's all it was. It was a toilet cycle. Okay,
toilet
it was the
cycle.
Pooper cycle. So anyway, back from that distraction I just did, the lav mics seem kind of like a pointless investment unless we're planning on trying them. And these are the clip-on ones instead of the wraparound ones, so you just clip it. So I suppose if we wanted to have Amy talk, you could just hand her the mic. Which we kind of have to do anyway, because to be completely honest, it's really tough to hear Amy in the back.
It's because she's a quiet little mouse.
And we put her far away from the microphone, which is just funny.
We could buy a limo and then pay someone to drive the limo while we record a podcast in the limo.
I mean, that I like this Kickstarter idea goal. In principle. I like the principle behind this. I have some issues with the implementation.
Discuss amongst yourselves.
Okay.
Which is just you, so just talk to yourself.
Can I borrow your credit card for a minute?
Yeah, sure.
Cool.
Not going to work for very long.
Only has to work for a minute. How many times
did you order $5,000 worth of limo rides? No. It's fraud.
Yeah. Well, who the hell would do that? What kind of... It's obviously fraud. Who the hell would do that?
In the limo.
Yeah. Ride number 3,000 in. But
That's
no, the...
ridiculous. Nobody needs that many limo rides.
But improv.
I just wanted to talk about that because I thought I was like, man, because I was thinking about starting to GM again, but
we should go figure it out, because I think the two important skills in a GM is, one, world building.
Yes. That's the other thing, is I'm running a pre-made because I want to get my chops up in the
in
addition.
But I think world building ties into all of it in some sense, because I think improv ties into all, like you said, I think it is an important thing, because the world building is important. Storytelling, I think, is actually a little bit less important. I think it's important, but I think it's less important.
There's, because...
Or story crafting, I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
Storytelling, yes, but not... You don't have to actually write a super good story.
If you're a good storyteller. If you're not...
Well, no, if you're playing a game, because you've got other people telling stories here, right? You need to put elements together.
I think about it when you're talking about, like, descriptions of things, like...
Have to be a good orator. I think that goes... I would say it goes without saying, but I think it's... I guess it is implied.
Yeah, I would think, in fact, storytelling might hurt you a little bit.
If you get too caught up in your story, in your narrative, mm-hmm. then you're going to get pissed off when the players inevitably do the fucking stupidest thing they could do.
The other thing they talked about, speaking of, like, that kind of getting caught up in, like, storytelling versus whatever, is the five types of GMs. This is when I'm at Mercer Video, but it was a different one. It was five types of GMs that kind of suck. Or, like, five things that GMs do that kind of suck.
Five cardinal sins.
It was types of GMs.
Five types of cardinal sin GMs.
Yeah, sin gems. Slim gems.
Slim gems.
G sins.
G slims.
Dungeon sinsters.
G six.
Dungeon sin
G spot. I'm just going to keep doing things in that voice because it's amusing me right now.
Okay. Well, that was quick.
Anyway.
Carry on. The first one was one that is... too involved, so I can't remember if I can remember them all off the top
of
my head.
Fine.
But
just do the best
one of them was the one that was too involved, so like one that was a little bit too obsessed with telling you how much, or having your NPCs monologue about how cool the world was, or building a character because they just want to play, like the one that's too overly involved with the game itself. Like, they won't let the players play because they also want to play NGM, and they want to make sure everybody knows that this world they created is super cool and all these things like that. Another one that they had was one that, that would let everything fly. Like, there's rules in the system for a reason, but there's also times when you should break the rules as a GM. That's a good GM tactic.
Flexibility.
But just simply letting any people do whatever they want without telling them no or yes, they can't, like, no, they can't do that because it doesn't fit, and nothing about that would work. You just simply saying, yeah, sure, roll five checks, like... There's certain times where you can't fit all the things you want to do into your turn, or you can't, like, do certain things because the mechanics of just the way a battle works doesn't mesh with what you're trying to do. And the GMs that constantly say yes are...
Yeah, yeah.
are equally annoying as the next type, which are the ones that are too rule-mongery and don't rely on, you know... kind of on-the-whim decision-making. So that was two in a kind of row, but...
It's that kind of, like, no, you can't throw a knife... across a room to hit a light switch using your constitution.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you can't do that. It needs to be dexterity, maybe strength. But at the same time, you can't also be like, no, there's no rule for throwing weapons to interact with the world.
Yeah, like, so you can't do that. You can't throw, like, a coin because, like, yeah. The coin wouldn't do anything.
You don't have thrown weapon, so you can't even try. And you're like, yeah. But can I just try?
Allowing for epic things is great, but, like, you need to make sure that they stay epic by letting them only...
Exactly, but you also need to let people try. And I think one of the important parts, too, is letting people put together stupid ideas and failing catastrophically and then letting that be the consequences. I think that's one of the more profound ways to solve that. Like, I want to throw this pebble I have and see if I can knock that torch out of the brazier on the wall so it starts the fire over there. And you're like, okay, it's 45 feet away. The pebble is smaller than your fingertip. I really don't think that's going to fly. So go ahead and give me a dexterity roll.
Yeah.
And then they roll a natural 20 and then confirm the natural 20. You're like, okay, well, you found a weak spot in the brazier that was about to fall off and boom, fire. Why not? If you manage to pull something like that off, it's a cool story to share with everybody and it's a fun memory and it doesn't really kill you. And the other thing, and then just to hijack, and maybe this is in them, but if you have such a railed campaign that you can't allow for stupid shit to happen, you're never going to be happy as a DM.
No, yeah. Because if you introduce a character and that character needs to survive, but you're too chicken shit to mess with the rules, or you don't make him powerful enough, or you are too fixed on the way that he had to escape or something like that, and he doesn't, any of those scenarios ends up dying or getting hurt, like, you're kind of screwed unless you had a plan.
Well, yeah, or if the guy that... you have who's got the important information to them for the players, they don't ask the right questions and then they kill him and you're like, well, he had the answer to the clue, he had the clue to the whole all along, shouldn't have killed him. You're like, well, that's not fun. Well,
that's when you find a note on his body,
like, yeah, or yeah, but you have to have that flexibility where you're like, oh, I can't solve this problem, you just broke the game. You're like, yeah. No, you put a note on the body, the note that was always there, or his cousin who was, you know, also in the heist, it came looking for him because he died, and you've got to be able to move with that. And make stuff happen.
I'd like to be in a game where that doesn't happen and see, like,
well,
experience
part of being,
that GM, because I've never had that before.
Where they have a linchpin character that they fucked up.
Or like, a very inflexible game master scenario.
Mostly,
where, like,
we don't game with those guys, right?
I mean, yeah.
And most of the people in our group that want a GM have a bit of a natural talent for it, or at least aren't... I mean, that's beyond natural talent. That's just ineptitude, I think, at that point, to be honest. Like, any average person could work that out, given enough time and understanding that you've got to be flexible. They might not be elegant. As he dies, he tells you the password. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. But it...
The storytelling has to come from all the people, not just...
Yes.
The GM has to do a lot already, so, like, it helps when players can also assist in, like, the...
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the things they do, and, again, I'm going to bring that up since it's what I'm on now, because this podcast is topical as fuck, but... For our lives, not for
but
anything real.
Behind.
Yeah. Years, even. Critical Role came out in 2015. So,
I mean, as far as our release schedule.
Gotcha. No, I meant, like, the things we talk about are not... It's not topical, but it's, like, of mind for whatever we do, which
topical
is kind of an interesting thing in its own right. But, like, it's like an experiential podcast where we just talk about the things we're experiencing on a daily basis,
that's
but it's actually...
pretty much what it
yeah.
is.
But it's... I don't see a lot of those, actually.
We're weird?
Yeah, okay. So, the other one was someone... Another form of the GM was someone who is too enamored with the new and keeps changing the system around. So, like, maybe it's not as drastic as the example that was given in this video, which is like, oh, we're playing, like, a Pathfinder, but I really like this new rule system for Starfinder, which is the same people, so it'll be similar, but we're going to switch to sci-fi now. And you're like, oh, wait, with the same characters? You're like, sure, yeah, if you want to. And you're like,
no.
What? I didn't even get a chance to, like, re-roll my character or, like, play it at all. And
yeah.
That GM can be bad, too. I've never experienced
that
at all. But, like, or even if it was more subtle, like, moving from
Savage
3.5
to
Pathfinder to 4th edition to Pathfinder 4.0.
I could see where, like, the subtle version of that is, like, we played Savage Worlds superhero version,
yeah.
Right? But what if you were playing it as superheroes but didn't have the superhero version because you didn't know about it, and then you suddenly introduced it?
That could
go either way,
yeah.
But it could get very frustrating, right? Because you're like, well, we kind of hobbled together these characters, like, using what we understood the rules to be. You can't change the rules on us now and introduce this whole mechanic that we had to fake.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you could make it work, and if you were cool about it, yeah. But if you weren't cool about it, I could see that going sideways fast.
Again, I don't see any of our players in our group doing stuff like that, just because that would be, it would too irreparably destroy immersion. I think it would make it like less entertaining.
Well, and I think most of us are fairly reasonable about this, and not. I mean, I don't know. I think that flexibility though is important still. I think the most important thing about all of it is the flexibility, because it is group storytelling, right? It's group narrative building. You're not just randomly. God, that guy making a stupid ass left turn. He is holding up a lot of traffic himself personally. Yep. It's amazing. Anyway, I think it's important to remember that you're working together as a team at the end, and you're weaving a fun story, which is one of the reasons I endorse recording them. I think that's fun. And I like Mark's recording the game we're playing now, and I think that's a great idea. I think it's a really good idea, especially either for preserving it or for releasing it and sharing it, because it is a story you're making, and maybe it'll be a good one, maybe it'll be a shitty one, but you don't really know until the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really enjoyed the Serenity game that I ran. It had a few too many people in it, and so not everyone got to be as engaged as that would probably have been more fun. And so it was really tough to manage that part, but I wish I'd recorded it, because I forgot a lot of what happened, and my notes are incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the kind of thing, is remembering that it is a group storytelling. And again, you guys derailed many of my stories. I was the first time I ever ran a game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had some ideas in my head what was going to happen, and it was seriously like, oh, we're going to go over here. And it's like, I'll just take this page of notes and crumple that up and put that over here, because that's not happening now. Or, so I shot him. Okay. I'll just flip ahead here.
Yeah, you probably picked a very interesting group to start your game with.
Oh, it wasn't bad at all.
Fancy Free was like the least offensive word to describe the shit we were doing.
Well,
like,
and that game is really lends itself, that mechanic, the way that works, lends itself to imaginative fucking
around. The mechanics
around.
Do, sure, but yeah. It doesn't lend itself to a GM who has a specific, like,
story. No, and I think that's where it's important. Like I said, having a narrative, building a narrative to begin with is less important, but I think it is good to have that, so if the players are listless and not doing anything, you can make stuff happen to them.
Sure.
But then letting players have agency, right, and decide they're going to do something. I was able to lead Emily along fairly effectively by manipulating her character. Not by giving her rails, but by fucking with her character.
I think that some aspects of some of the things we do are a little bit too open world, and I'd much prefer a little bit of guidance, as opposed to just saying, like, not that this happened in that one, but like some worlds are too open. Like,
yeah.
In an RPG system, especially for people who don't know the worlds themselves, it's hard for them to kind of become that agent,
right?
Because they don't understand how the world works. Oh. So not that you did this, but if you do have that world too open, it can be hard, because the players don't know what to do, and you're like, well, there's a bunch of stuff happening around you.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, like, what? And they're like, well, this guy, he tripped and he didn't see it. And you're like, why does that matter? And you're like, oh, well, these five things that happened in this world made him do this. And you're like, well, that makes more sense now after you fucking told me about it.
Yeah.
But not up into that point where I didn't realize it was important.
Well, that's where I wanted to try and make it be more like a TV series. And that's why it was, you know, at the end of each session was kind of a conclusive sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next session would sort of start, and there'd be some motivation. Like, the first one, like, I'm thinking of some of the sessions. For the most part, it was pretty easy. And that one's pretty fun, because you can just randomly get away from someone who's got a job for you, right? So you can totally have that. And then your choice is to take the job or not, you know, follow through on the job or betray the guy. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you can do with that kind of impetus. But you have to give players the option to be like, I don't want to take that job. That guy's a douche.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, okay, well, you have to take it anyway. Well, that's not cool. Now it's you playing.
But there's other ways to, like, to make that happen. Anyway, Amy.
Well, sure.
What kind of things do you find good and or bad about GMs? Like, game masters that you played with?
There's a lot of stuff that you guys already touched on. So, I think the most fun I usually have had during those games is when I can do kind of outrageous things, but only if I do it correctly. So, like, when I got that jug of neurotoxin, it was because Kate allowed it, but only if I, like, beat the unbeatable odds, which I did. And so I think that kind of storytelling...
That was fun.
Yeah, if you allow for it, that's what makes the most fun.
Mm-hmm.
So that one was also a little bit more structured, because we knew where we had to go.
That was Star Wars Edge of the Empire, by the way, that she did that.
Yeah, yeah, and that was a very, very...
That was
well put together game, in that it needed to have a lot of details around it, because it was two simultaneous campaigns that were colliding.
And so, we've only done that one other time with Heroes, but yeah. Amy, what else?
Heroes?
The superheroes, yeah, because we had good and bad at the same time.
Oh, yeah. That was a bold move for Garion, too. That was an interesting way. And he solved that interestingly, too.
I don't know. I'm blanking.
Okay.
All right. I need to take that improv class.
Yes, and.
Oh, it's broccoli. I don't know why I keep going to broccoli. God damn it.
Broccoli. No, what Garion did is he ran the good guys and the bad guys on a superhero campaign. And as I'm assuming not everybody listening was Garion, or was there.
Or they are, and that's the weirdest part.
Yeah, that's also weird. no, so he ran both sides of the campaign simultaneously in the same room, which made for a very interesting kind of metagame. And the game itself was not built for competing player characters because most of the powers were so powerful that we almost team-wiped each other constantly. Like, he was constantly maintaining his balance of... What was it? You or Joe walked in and just fucking died, I think. Somebody walked in and got immediately murdered by one roll from somebody else.
Yeah, I think it was, Kate... Was it Kate playing with us?
No, that was before Kate.
It was somebody... Maybe...
DC.
Huh?
It was DC, before Kate. It was
yours is BA, Amy. If it was before you, it was BA. that's bad and good, I guess.
Yeah.
But somebody, I think it was Mark's character.
Always sucks for people.
Because Mark's character had a thing where like he was the only person that could hit me because he had like magic or something. And
oh yeah. And, like, you were a ghost.
I was like, I was ethereal.
Yeah. So you were like untouchable in an annoying way. And
like I couldn't do a lot. Like I was exactly. I was like a telepathic teleporting ghost, and so I could like lift people up. But it was hard to do, but
yeah,
and he trapped me in, a magic thing, and I couldn't get out of it for, six turns.
And he destroyed you, and was like, well, this sucks. And then I remember I made a character as a troll, and I was willing to work with it some more, but I wasn't indestructible. I actually did get wrecked a couple times, but I was basically indestructible. My armor class was such that it was impossible for most of the other characters to hit.
That was one of the things I thought was weird about that campaign is, it required Garion to think so much outside of the box to come up with ways to do anything with us, because... Basically, we just built our characters, and they were, near invincible in certain ways.
The most fucked up characters.
And the only people that could do anything with each other were the people that were playing in the groups, And it was,
Well, and he made it work. He did a great job for that, especially first time.
But I think that system is what I had
Wrong choice for the system for what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And that's fine. We survived. It was a fun story. I liked some of the stuff he did. Some of the ways he did it, where we were mostly fighting each other's lackeys. Was fun, and it also felt very comic booky. Did a good job of making it fit thematically.
And I loved the being a player in that campaign because I came up with such cool backstory stuff, and I ended up being the one that I traded to everybody because I let this otherworldly thing in, and it possessed me, and I tried to murder everyone.
Yeah, that was fun. But that one was one of those. That's Dispatch Health. We have that, don't we? That's that place they come and check on you if you're dying. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have it.
Yeah, point is, I think it's that flexibility is good. Following the rules when you understand them and being able to shoot from the hip when you don't is the other one. Make a call.
That's just the flow thing. Like, if you do make a rule call, unless you're willing to talk to your players about how it was wrong or come up with some story, just stick with it. I mean,
figure it out later. But the biggest problem is when you tank any sense of cohesion or immersion or flow. By spending 30 minutes looking up a rule.
Yeah, don't do that.
It's terrible. So make the call, unless it's something you really have no idea at all and you've got to find that happens. But it seems like more than anything, make the call and then make a note to go back and figure out what it was. Mm-hmm. That's where sometimes having a recording would probably be really helpful, right? Make a note. That did not sound healthy. Make a call, and then when you go back later, you're like, hey, so last week when I told Joe you had to roll blah instead of blah, that was a wrong call. Going forward, we're going to do it this way, and then just be upfront about it. I mean, I don't think any of the people, none of our players would get mad about it, because you make the call, you do the thing, and then you can go fix it later. And if it's something terrible that happened, maybe you can make it up to him somehow, but unmurder his character or something. But,
yeah.
But, I mean, if it worked out in his favor, fine, roll with it. I think that's just part of all of it, is just roll with it. It's a game. It's fun.
Maybe that was another one, but that's one I kind of feel like could be one where the GM's not comfortable killing characters. You need to be able to have that sense of death.
Or you lose a ton of the immersion of the game with when it comes to like why you should think about the things you do. Like
why you shouldn't be running around doing the dumbest shit you can imagine.
The other one I wanted to say was I did like the pre-made for the Dark Heresy second edition, and I don't think it went very well, mostly because the world was too specific. Like, it wasn't open enough for people to do things.
We were pre-railed.
Well, and it wasn't the story that was necessarily really railed, because there was lots of things to do in the story. It was that the universe was so immense that everybody got, like, nobody knew what to do, because you'd have to spend like 4 years learning like the entirety of 40K and figuring out like how the rules work and who you need to talk to in certain situations. And that's something I didn't do as a GM, was understand the world enough to know what to answer the player questions.
And that's where I think it's probably fine to make your own world if that's what you like,
or just come up with one that is a little more like familiar. Like, you don't have the 40K one is a presumed thing, so like there's a lot of things that you should need to know. But if you did a generic sci-fi setting, you wouldn't have to worry about that. You could come up with it on the fly, like you're saying. Like, you can be a little bit more loosey-goosey. And like with fantasy, I don't know, I think fantasy in most worlds, like if you did a Game of Thrones one, like it would be the same problem, right?
Yeah. No, you'd run into a lot of things, and there's a lot of lore that you didn't learn.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's be familiar with your subject matter.
Or choose a system that you don't have to do that with. Because if you like the rules of something, but you don't know the system, then you probably shouldn't, you don't know the mythos, you probably should think about running a different system.
Yeah.
So.
On that note.
Wow. What?
Wow.
Like, comment, subscribe.
Wow.
Tell a friend. Because if you tell a friend,
then
they tell a friend.
We'll tell your friend that he's
cool. No, you have to do more than one, otherwise we're just recursing. You tell two friends.
If you pyramid
scheme us. And they tell two friends. And eventually, we'll be able to get our limo service that we want.
Dude, limo service.
You know about all those rich podcasters? All those people who quit their jobs because they're making more money on their podcast?
We need to get advertising, which I totally did today.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't... also, keep an eye out for our new soda we'll be launching. Yeah. Not so goddamn sweet.
Not so goddamn sweet.
Not so goddamn sweet. and then we'll have a diet version.
A diet not so goddamn sweet. It's got half aspartame in it, because it's not as... Get it?
Yep.
I think it's...
We just cut the molecule in half. It's probably good
for you. We're done here.
We're done here.
Bye.